So it's probably time for a You Are Here. I mean, between Serving Sunday and between Q&A Sunday and some other things that have been happening, we might need a reminder about what we set out to do in the year 2024 as a church family. We decided we were going to explore the topic of putting down roots. Roots in the Bible are often about the fundamental or foundational things that we believe to be true about our faith. And so we committed in this year to explore the foundational beliefs of our faith as Christians. And so here's where we've been. We spent 7 weeks talking about the sovereignty of God, which I think is like the foundational belief of all beliefs. And then we spent 6 weeks talking about the centrality of Jesus, that Jesus is at the center of everything that we believe as Christians. It all starts with him. It all comes back to him. It all resolves with him. It's all about Jesus. And today I want to start a new study. I'm going to do this about 4 or 5 weeks. And we're going to talk about the identity of the Holy Spirit. Sometimes we hear a lot about the Holy Spirit and we're like, I don't get it. And sometimes we just don't hear enough about the Holy Spirit. And we still feel like, I just don't get it. So you guys interested?
Yes.
Good. Because that's what I came prepared to talk about. And I want to begin the discussion here. We all know this word, supernatural. We kind of assume that we understand what it means. It's a Latin-based word. Super means above, beyond, or outside of. And then it's outside of or above nature or what is natural. What it is that we can see, we can touch, we can taste, the things that we can experience. Supernatural is about something above all of that, something outside of all of that. So it's a manifestation or an event that's attributed to some force beyond scientific understanding. It's outside of the natural realm. You can't put it under a microscope. It's beyond scientific understanding or the laws of nature, the way that we typically anticipate everything's going to work. This is supernatural. Supernatural is that which exists outside of the boundaries of what we can see, what we can explain, and what we can prove. We can try to explain it, but it's beyond explanation in some regards. We're not going to necessarily be able to see it with our physical eyes, manifested like right here in front of us. And at times, it's just going to be hard. It's going to be hard to prove. That's the nature of supernatural. Does that make sense? So, while faith, the discussion of faith, is intended to be very practical for everyday life. It is. I believe that the truths that we trust, they are intended to be integrated into the way that we go about living our life. And I think God intended our faith to make a difference in how we live our life. While faith is intended to be practical, we still have to recognize it still rests in the realm of the supernatural. We're putting our faith in God, who exists beyond or outside of what we can experience with our senses. It is by nature. It's divine. It's mysterious. It's spiritual. It's not physical. It's outside of the boundaries of this world. That's what supernatural is. You with me? Okay, listen. For us to have a discussion about the Holy Spirit, we have to recognize that some of this is rooted in the supernatural, and it will be hard to understand it. it'll be hard for me to try to explain it. It'll be hard to just prove it in the ways that we typically prefer to prove stuff. We're going to have to go into it, into this discussion about the Holy Spirit, with a little bit of anticipation of that it's not all going to make sense right away. So what do you say? That we embark on this study of the Holy Spirit and let's come from curious. Let's go on an adventure. Let's just give it some attention. And know that we might not be able to wrap it all up in a nice little bow all the time. That some of this is going to be left suspended in a certain tension of the supernatural. Does that make sense? So, I've told you before that I think studying the Bible is a little like putting together a puzzle. You read something here about a certain topic, and then you're over here and you read something else about that topic, but it's different than what you read about in earlier reference. And then you're in the New Testament and here's another piece of the puzzle that's about that topic. And so what we find is that in studying certain topics in the Bible is we collect the pieces. And there's some in the Old Testament, and there's some in the New Testament. There's some in like poetic literature of like the books of Proverbs or Psalms. And then there's sometimes that they're in a letter that the Apostle Paul wrote to the church. And sometimes there's another picture, and it's in like prophetic literature. And you take all these pieces together, and then what the journey is trying to put the pieces together. And as we do, a picture starts to take shape. And so what we're going to do over the next couple of weeks is we're going to take, what does the Bible say about the Holy Spirit here? And then over here. And then there's like this passage that talks about the Holy Spirit. And we're going to try to put the puzzle together. Make sense? All right. Now, it's kind of the nature of these settings that there's the assumption that I'll do a little bit of the work to at least kind of get the edges put together. Is that how you do a puzzle? You start with all the flat pieces because they're easy to find, right? So here's a place to start. We read the Bible, Old Testament, New Testament, and we hear about God. And we hear a lot about God. And then we come in the New Testament and we start hearing a lot about Jesus. And along the way, we hear little things from time to time about something called the Spirit, often referred to as the Holy Spirit. And you put all the pieces together and we start putting together a better understanding of God. And it looks a little like this. That I prefer to think of God less as a name and more as a title. Now, it is a name, but it functions more as a title, and that title describes three distinct divine beings. And so when you start putting the puzzle together, you start saying, well, there's sometimes God's referred to as a father, and he does fatherly kinds of things. And then sometimes God's referred to as the Son, and we know him to be Jesus. And then we have these occasional mentions of the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, and we see him in certain settings, we see it functioning in certain ways. And what we put together, and again, I'm helping you a little with the puzzle. You could do your study yourself. And you might come up with maybe a different conclusion. I'm just taking 40 years of experience, and I'm sharing with you that we do a study and we find out that God exists in what's commonly called a Trinity. Now, you've probably heard that word. Churches talk about it from time to time. Theologians discuss it from time to time. Interestingly, the word Trinity doesn't occur in the Bible. It's a concept that we arrive at based on putting the pieces of the puzzle together. And so here's what we understand to the best of our ability. God is three distinct divine beings, like separate. Three distinct divine beings who exist in complete unity. Like there's no, you know, fighting for territory. There's no, you know, one upping each other. No, that's the beauty of divine beings like God, is they can live in complete unity. We, in our human systems, we can't even imagine that. Complete unity, they are absolute identical in nature. That everything the Father is, the Spirit is. And everything the Spirit is, Jesus is. They are completely identical in their nature, their attributes, their behaviors, their thoughts, their expressions. And even more amazing, they share mutual equality with each other. Again, there's no jockeying for position. You know, Jesus doesn't have a bad day every once in a while and kind of silently brood in heaven thinking, I wish I was dad. Never happens. Spirit's not over here. Well, they get all the attention. Nobody ever talks about me. I'm like the stepchild and all this thing. No, that never happens. They exist in complete equality with each other. Complete unity. In fact, they're so secure with each other that they each take on different responsibilities and don't have the least bit of concern about competition. That's what we discover if we start putting the pieces together. Now, is that easily understood? Not necessarily. People who have been Christians for years still scratch their head and go, but I thought we had one God. We do. Who exist in three divine beings. This is the big hiccup for Jewish people. Their whole mantra of their faith is one God, one God. And so then Jesus comes along. He starts talking about being God. And they're like, what? No, that would be two. Jesus, when he initiated the rite of baptism as a representative of what he was calling people, what did he call them to? To baptize in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. This was the unique calling of Christianity, is that we believe in a Trinity. Three divine beings, distinct from each other, completely identical in nature. And they share a mutual equality with each other. Now, you know me, I'm kind of like, does that make sense? And you say, no, it doesn't. Welcome to supernatural. No, seriously, I'm not. Welcome to supernatural. It's beyond. Like we go, how can three be one? And how can three be one? How can two become one? It's a concept of the scriptures about two separate individuals having the capacity to enjoy a mutual equality with each other. It's called marriage. So if two could become one, maybe it's not that hard to think of three. Being like one, moving together, complete harmony with each other. You with me? Like, no, I'm not. Yeah, see, it takes time. Some of you, you're hearing stuff like this for the very first time in your life. So go easy on yourself. Give yourself some room. to mull it over and think about it and work it through. Some of you, you've been hearing this all your life. Maybe it's just time for a reminder. Because I'm going to tell you what we're going to discover over the next couple weeks is that the Holy Spirit is absolutely critical to everything that we hope for as Christians. And it's too bad that in the history of the church, he's often the forgotten God. But we just don't talk about him enough. And it seems like, okay, this is just a moment of honest truth. Sometimes when some people talk about him, it's just so weird that we're like, ah, yeah, I'll just stick with Jesus. I like him. He's much more comprehensible. I've seen some odd things when they start messing with the Holy Spirit. I don't even want to go there. Okay. Yeah. But we got to allow for the supernatural. You with me? Okay, so here's what I want to do today. I want to cover three things that we discover to be true about the Holy Spirit from the pieces of the puzzle. And they're going to be real practical. They're going to be real basic. Some of you are going to like, oh, I learned this when I was in kindergarten. Okay, okay. Some of you, this will be review. But maybe it's time for a review. And some of you, you'll be learning this for the very first time. And we kind of celebrate that around here. So I'm glad you're here for the discussion. All right, so Jesus said something really interesting. He said a lot of things really interesting for this discussion. He said in John chapter 14, if you love me, you'll do what I ask you to do. And I, so this, okay, ready? You ready? You guys don't seem ready. You ready? Okay, Jesus, I will ask the Father. This is Jesus talking to God, the Father. There's a conversation happening. And I will ask the Father if he'll give you another advocate, another helper. So Jesus, he's asking the Father, hey, would you send these people another helper? And in this language here, another helper, like a helper like I've been? One like me? In fact, this word another is about something that's identical. Will you send another advocate to come help? To help you, the disciples, and be with you forever? Let's call him the Spirit of Truth. The world cannot accept him. Why? Because they're not really comfortable in the supernatural. They want to put it under a microscope. They want to find it in a textbook. The world can't receive it because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him. You ready? This is the Spirit of Truth that Jesus is asking the Father to send. He says, you know him, for he lives with you and he will be like in you. I will not leave you as orphans. I'm going to come to you. I'm just going to come to you in a different way. I'm going to come to you in the Spirit. I'm going to leave this earth. I'm going to return to heaven to be with my Father. And I'm going to ask him to send the Holy Spirit who will be with you and actually live inside of you. And that way I can be with everybody at all the same time. Supernatural. You go, wait, lives inside of me? Mm-hmm. So, here's three things that we can learn about the Holy Spirit from the Scripture. The first one is this. The Holy Spirit is God living in you. Not God way up there in heaven. Not God sort of around. God living in you. When you place your faith in Jesus as your Savior, the promise of Scripture is that God, in the person of his Spirit, comes to live inside of you. Jesus said it, the Spirit of truth who lives with you and will be in you. The Apostle Paul wrote to the early church and he said, do you not know that your bodies are temples of the Holy Spirit who is where? In you, whom you received from God, the Father. He sent him to you. And it's interesting, Paul's writing this to the first century church in Corinth and he's saying, maybe you just don't know this. And it's likely that there's people in our audience today and you go, yeah, I didn't know that. And it could make an enormous difference. Knowing that God lives in you in the person and the presence of the Holy Spirit. You want to impress your friends? Do you? If you don't, I'll skip this next point. You want to impress your friends? So in the big discussions of theology, you'll hear this concept. It's called indwelling. Your friends won't be impressed. But maybe here today, we might think this is kind of cool. So here's, if you're reading in theology and you come across this idea of indwelling is the abiding presence of God within the believer by which God initiates all that he seeks to accomplish in and through their life. Did you get that? God wants to do something through you. He wants to do something in you. And the way that he does that is he comes and he sets up shop in you, in the person of the Holy Spirit. That's the concept or the idea of indwelling, which then brings us to the second truth. The second truth is this: the Holy Spirit is God with you all of the time, everywhere you go and everything that you go through. God is with you all the time. You ready? Ready? If he lives inside of you, then he goes where you go. You take him along with you. I love how the writer of Psalm 139 says, he says, you've searched me, Lord. You know me. There's no secret. You know when I sit down. You know when I rise up. You perceive. Oh, wait a second. If he lives inside of me, you perceive my thoughts. You discern my going out, my lying down. You know when I'm going to go to bed tonight. You are familiar with all of my ways, not just some of them. Not just the ones that happen at church. All of my ways, you are familiar with them. There's never a moment God goes, oh, that surprised me. I didn't expect him to do that. Never happens. Before a word is on my tongue, you know what I'm going to say. You hem me in. It's a picture of got his arms around you. Hand me in. You're behind me. You're in front of me. You lay your hand on me. This is how you go through life as a Christian. God's hand is on top of you. Such knowledge it must be supernatural because I can't understand it. It's too wonderful. It's amazing to think about. Too lofty for me to even begin to comprehend. Where can I go from your what? Your spirit. Where can I go? Where can I flee from? How do I get away from your spirit? Well, if I go to the heavens, you're there. If I make my bed in the depths, you're there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there, your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. Why? Because he's in you. He makes his home inside of you. Not just preachers and missionaries inside of you. Now, honest truth, this is a good thing and a bad thing. It can be a reassuring thing, and if you think about it, it could be a bit of a disturbing thing. God goes wherever you go. And he witnesses whatever you do. So all those otherwise anonymous and obscure moments when you've done your best to obey God and serve him like you thought you should, and it seemed like nobody else noticed. It was just on the down low, you just being kind, you just being compassionate, you just being patient, you just doing the right thing when everybody else was doing wrong and nobody else sees it. God sees it. He's right there. He sees every good thing that you do. He doesn't miss a one of them. Those occasions when all of us feel like God's abandoned us, that he doesn't care, he's not aware of what's going on with our child or with our health or with our finances or our job. It's like, where's God and why isn't he paying attention? And why I just pray and I pray and nothing happened. And we start to think God's not around. And I'm telling you, he's in you. He's with you. He's right there in those moments. He has not abandoned you. You say, well, it sort of feels like, yes, feelings are different than faith. But while we're there, all those moments when we think we're alone and nobody has a clue as to our whereabouts or what we're up to, what we're watching on television, what we're looking at on the internet, what we do in that hotel room while we're traveling for business, God's right there. He sees and he knows and he understands what it's all about. He's a witness to it all because he lives in you. Did you follow that? Okay. Third thing that we can learn about the Holy Spirit, just as an introduction to this topic, is this. The Holy Spirit is God changing you from the inside out. God wants to change us as human beings into something that is a better reflection of Jesus. And the place he begins is inside, like down in our heart, because that's most important to him. I mean, just look at some of the language of the scripture. Romans chapter 8. Those who live according to the flesh, like our earthly ambitions and pursuits, they have their minds set on what the flesh desires, money and fame and prestige and approval and ambition, what the flesh desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit, their mind is elsewhere. They have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind governed by the flesh actually just creates death. It kills us inside spiritually. But the mind that's governed by the Spirit, which we'll explore here in a couple weeks, governed by the Spirit, well, that will create life and peace in you. The mind governed by the flesh is actually hostile to God and what he wants. It does not submit to God's law. It wants to do what I want to do. Nor can it do so. Those who are in the realm of the flesh, they cannot please God. You, however, writing to Christians, you, however, you're not in the realm of the flesh. You are in the realm of the Spirit. Remember, he lives inside of you. If indeed the Spirit of God lives in you. And if anyone does not have the Spirit of God, they don't belong to Christ. But if Christ is in you, then even though your body is subject to death, we still wrestle with the complications of sin and the depravity. The Spirit gives life because of renewal or righteousness. There's something different happening in us. And if the Spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead is living in you, did you get that? The Spirit that the scripture says lives inside of you is the same one that raised Christ from the dead. He who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies because of his Spirit who lives in you. The Apostle Paul writes to a young pastor named Titus. He says, at one time, we too were foolish. We were disobedient, deceived, enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness of the love of God, our Savior, appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by what? The Holy Spirit. That's part of what the Spirit does, is he renews. He makes things different in the life of a human being, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Savior, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. So, again, another word that you might run into from time to time. Indwelling, you might run into the word conversion. Conversion is the work of God whereby he redirects the life of a human being away from slavery to sin through repentance, a change of heart, a change of mind, and toward freedom in Christ through surrender to his will. So conversion is about God taking us off of a path that's moving away from him and saying, here, let me redirect you. Let's convert you into another direction. Now, it's interesting. Maybe this is more than you care to know. But I'm going to tell you anyways. In the study of, like, the truth of conversion, God redirecting our lives, there's a sense to which it happens immediately, and there's a sense to which it takes time. All of the resources that help make conversion possible, we receive them immediately. But it'll take the rest of our lives to work it all out. Think of it this way. Let's say you want to go to Big Bend. You get in your car and you head on I-10 East. I don't care how long you drive, you are not going to get to Big Bend. You'll get to Houston in about 3 hours. What conversion is we're going to take your car and we're going to turn it around and get it westbound. So we converted the car. It's now in a different direction. But it's going to take you about 6 weeks to get out to Big Bend. All right? It's going to take time for you to reach the destination. And the scriptures talk about us becoming like Jesus as a destination that we're moving toward. We have all the resources immediately, but it takes time to work through the challenges of our sin nature. Probably more than you wanted to know, but I'm not done yet. I have another big word that you may run into from time to time, and it's the word regeneration. It's the work of God whereby he bestows spiritual life in a human being who is spiritually dead in their sin. We do not possess anything in ourselves whereby we are capable of manifesting spiritual progress. There's nothing about a human being that can do that on their own. It takes the help of God. And the Holy Spirit is the one who primarily does that work. Ephesians, as for you, you were dead in your transgressions, your sin, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the rulers of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who's now, different spirit, intangible spirit being, Satan, who is now at work in those who are disobedient. And all of us, we used to live among them at one time. We were gratifying the cravings of our flesh, following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of God's judgment, his wrath. But this is the gospel. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, he made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace that you have been saved. That's the work of regeneration. Me, spiritually dead at one time in my life, I place my faith in Jesus Christ, and God brings about spiritual capacity in me to make the journey. And we'll talk a lot more about that in the weeks to come. So I leave you with this. All of the transformation that God hopes to accomplish in your life is accomplished through the work of the Holy Spirit in you. That's why he's so critical. That's why it's so important that we understand. I wish I could show you the looks on your faces. So here's how I want to wrap up. What? Don't answer out loud. What was new for you today? What are you thinking? Man, I never knew that. And being new, don't expect to have it all figured out or even to believe it all. Just welcome it. Oh, that's new information to add to my paradigm. I'd never thought about that. Never even knew that was out there. Or maybe, what was a reminder for you today? What maybe had you forgotten about God living inside of you and being with you everywhere you go, through everything that you go through? Let me ask you this question. How often do you live in an awareness that God lives inside of you in the person of his Holy Spirit? Is it just a thing you remember from time to time, like when the preacher brings it up? Or do you live with an awareness that this is always true? That's really important. And we'll discover when we talk about walking by the Spirit, it's about this constant awareness that God lives inside of me. So we have a lot to talk about. And so I encourage you to come back. But I leave some of you with this. It's possible that over the next couple of weeks, you're going to have some thoughts. You're like, where in the world is that coming from? And some things are going to click in a way, and you're like, oh, I never knew that. Guess who that is? That's the Spirit of God at work in your life. Get ready. Because if you allow it to happen, it will change your life. Make sense? Let me ask you to stand together. Let me remind you that there is a ton of shrimp out there waiting for you to consume. So stop by the proceeds, the donations that you make toward the shrimp that you purchase is toward a great cause. We're supporting an organization that could use some help. Make sense? Let's pray together. Father, wow. I am just asking in all humility that you'd give us all just open eyes, open ears, a curious heart to just think about these things that are so incredible to think about, that you live in us, that you're with us all the time, and that you're up to something. And it's so important to you that you'd come and make your home in us. Help us with these things, I pray and ask in the name of Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. All right, everybody, have a great week. We'll see you next Sunday.